every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for Marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPALASLASLAACRRR. The Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the Independent Party. We don't speak for, well, we speak for some of those guys, just not on the air.
That's right.
Or any of the Anons. Matter of fact, we don't speak that well for ourselves.
Speaking of us.
But that's the way it goes. Speaking of us, welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. with The Fresh Maker.
The what?
The Fresh Maker.
Isn't that Mentos?
Well, you know.
So I'm a Mento. Is this what you're saying? I'm a Mento?
You're making it fresh, baby.
I'm Shelly.
And Mark.
Sweet. So Shelly and I are at church today.
Oh my gosh, I thought Bruce was going to pee his pants. He was laughing so hard.
In church?
In church. Puddles
on those wooden pews.
Dude. So tell them why.
Okay. Well, the sermon today, you know, it's the 4th of July, so the sermon today was actually quite politicized, and I was a little bit disappointed by that. But most of the sermon was about the Liberty Bell, the story of the Liberty Bell. And
liberty and how that...
Yeah.
Works with
all that sort of thing,
religious freedom and everything.
And there was the Pomona marching band.
It was like a quartet,
concert band. Yeah,
yeah,
concert quartet.
Not exactly a marching band. There's only like four guys.
Right. Okay. They were doing the Liberty Bell March. And now I'm thinking, oh, that'll be nice. I've never heard this before. And they start playing it, and all of a sudden, I look at Bruce, and he busts out laughing because the Liberty Bell March is actually the theme song from Monty Python and the whole
And I'm like going, it's Monty freaking Python
in church, and all of the older ladies are just marching along.
Everyone is marching. Like the pastor tells everyone. Yeah, feel free to march in place. And I'm looking around, and my God, there's like this 99-year-old woman next to Shelly who's just marching in place.
And you're like doing the wooden horse routine.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you.
We're about to break out into the ministry of silly walks here.
Yeah, I was expecting John Cleese to come walking in at any moment. I mean,
oh, my gosh.
And you know what it reminded me of? What it must be like to people that are like doing performances at like rest homes. Because there was a gal in the choir whose like arms were going up in the air when she was walking, and she was really stepping, and she's not going anywhere. And I'm like, wow. And then at the end,
it's the most exercise she's got since she quit having sex.
Yeah. Well, they do a reprisal at the end as everyone's leaving. He's like, feel free to march up the aisle, and people are like marching up the aisle. I'm like, oh.
And most people, of course, you know, it's Monty Python. It's an English show, and a lot of people, especially in the Methodist audience, will never have seen that show.
Uh-huh. I went out and told the pastor. I said, you know, I never, ever, ever would have thought I would hear the Monty Python theme song in church. And he goes like this. He goes, you could see the light bulb come on his head. He goes, oh my! That's where I've heard that before. He goes, I knew I recognized it, but I just thought I'd heard it at like a, you know, 4th of July event or something.
at a pagan healing ritual.
Oh my God! It was
good church.
It was that was the best part. I had to, you know.
Which part was politicized?
The sermon was a little bit politicized, I thought.
And what's wrong with that?
Interestingly enough, though, I thought it was kind of, he's like a left-wing guy, and I thought it was kind of politicized, maybe he didn't mean to, but like right-wing politicized. If he was talking about how, you know, liberty, like we should give businesses the opportunity to do all their own, I'm like, hey, sounds like a Republican.
That's capitalism at its best, baby.
Awesome. Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
Do 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 do. Okay, we have...
Should we throw a caveat on this?
No, she's good. She's ready to go.
I'm not really ready to go, but we have a shout-out this week to Bruce, and that's it.
Oh, yeah, just lay it all off on me.
Yeah, if the Bluesy News sucks.
Yes, it's his fault. Because Bruce and I actually spent the day together today, which we haven't done in a very long time, and it was really nice, but because of that, I forgot to get the Bluesy News because I was busy hanging out with my husband. So Bruce threw the Bluesy News together in about half an hour here, right before that we recorded the show.
Yeah, so remember that when you're sending your blazing emails in on how it sucked.
Okay, the first one is entitled, Man Eats His Own Penis. Mark put down his mic.
Now for something completely different.
This has Bruce's fingerprints all over it.
So police in Malaysia say a man cut off his own penis and then fried and ate it. They say he had taken hallucinogenic drugs that caused him to hear voices urging him to mutilate himself. Wow. He didn't realize what he had done until
skin
he saw
your
the
knee
blood.
Or something.
He didn't. Yeah, he didn't realize what he had done until he saw the blood.
Whoops.
Yeah. You got to be careful. You know what? Wow. That's the next Food Network star right there.
And you can't take that back either.
No.
You know what? Iron Chef. Today's special ingredient, penis.
That's right. Anthony Bourdain, eat your heart out. Here, try this.
Yeah, Bobby Flay, whip it out.
I'll bet Bourdain's eaten some kind of animal penis.
Oh, I know he has.
Probably not human, though.
No, probably not human.
No, but I'm
yet
positive. Yet. Well, you know what? Probably not Anthony Bourdain, that other guy. Alfred Zimmerman or something. The guy that goes around and eats weird food.
Yeah.
Almost for sure. Because he ate, like, water buffalo testicles and, like, raw or something. I mean, there was, like...
Was the left one more tender than the right one?
You know what? I think the one that the shepherd fondled less.
Yeah, well, we don't care.
Okay. I don't even know if I want to do the next story, but I will. Russian army commander has received a 2-year suspended sentence after he was found guilty of beating his junior officers with a dildo.
It's awesome.
However, his officers defended him. Mark's apoplectic.
Do you have to ask what he was doing with the dildo in the first place?
Well, his officers defended him at the military court, saying that he only hit them lightly with a black latex baton.
A black latex baton. A special baton.
Yeah. Did it go on by mistake?
Yeah. Was it attached to a belt?
Yeah. I thought that was just the baton hanging off of the utility belt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
You can see where the Bluesy News is going today. To hell in a handbasket.
Did it have the special tickler attachment to it, or did he take that off?
It doesn't say.
Okay.
A U.S. Coca-Cola truck driver has been fired after being spotted drinking a soft drink made by the rival Pepsi company.
That's right.
He was actually in the Coca-Cola truck at the time when he was drinking the Pepsi.
Nice. Can you imagine the commercial? Can you imagine someone getting video of that? That would be an awesome commercial. The guy, because you know they've always done those kind of commercials where the Coke guy or something is, he's working for Pepsi and he needs to have a Coke. The Teamsters got involved in that one. They're like they're just trying to screw the Teamsters. I mean, you know, Teamsters are all over Coca-Cola about this. I can't remember what happened. I don't think it's been nothing's been settled.
The
yet.
Teamsters have filed an unfair labor practice charges against Coca-Cola over the incident.
Yeah, aren't you free to drink what you want?
You would think. I mean, unless there's some kind of thing.
If I work for McDonald's and I stop at In-N-Out, besides being intelligent, am I fired?
I was going to say you're intelligent if you go to In-N-Out. What's the one, Shelley, that we ate at the other day? The hamburger.
The
place?
Habit.
The Habit. You ever heard of this place? It started in the 60s up in the Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
If they do it right, they've got a great albacore sandwich. Mm-hmm.
But they cooked mine too long, and it was
bleh. But it was the first time I had it, it was bomb. Well, mine was bombastic.
Yeah, the first time it was really good, but the second time it was like, bleh, they cooked it too much.
Dude, this is down by the mall. There was people like practically lined up out the door going in this place.
Okay.
Not too shabby.
The next story doesn't have a location. Oh, wait. Yeah, it does. Oklahoma City. Eight people are seeking $600,000 apiece in damages in a lawsuit involving a woman convicted of repeatedly urinating into the office coffee pot.
Yikes.
And the wives of four of the plaintiffs are seeking an additional $200,000 apiece in this in a civil suit filed. According to the lawsuit, which accuses Robinson of assault, Robinson Aviation is the company. It accuses them of assault. Several plaintiffs consumed the mixture of water, coffee, and urine and became physically ill.
Yeah. Didn't we have a boozy news like a long time ago about some guy that got caught peeing in the...
No, it wasn't a long time ago. It was like a few weeks ago. He was peeing in the reservoir.
No, in the clean drinking water reservoir. There was someone peed in like the coffee maker at work.
I don't remember that.
Okay.
But perhaps.
Might be a long time ago.
Let's see. An 18-year-old British man taking his driving test was actually thrown out of the car halfway through his test by carjackers.
Nice. Let me go get my license.
The man and his instructor were dragged from the Ford Fiesta by two men wearing helmets.
The Ford Fiesta?
Hockey helmets?
Doesn't say.
Got tired of riding the short bus?
I haven't. No, I'm not going to go there.
Okay. I went there for you.
No, it would have been way worse. Where I was going was down the garden path of no return.
Okay. Best you keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
Let's see. Ooh. This looks gross. A German artist is planning to open the world's first brothel for dogs in Berlin.
Now, it's not,
Christine
it's
Brinkley?
Not dogs and people.
Christine Brinkley?
No, it's not dogs and people.
It says that the guy says that dogs like his own Jack Russell Terrier mix are finding it increasingly hard to satisfy their desires while being taken for walks. Dog owners will have to pay £20 if they want their pets to have sex at the new canine nightclub.
The canine nightclub. What so if you're going to go to the nightclub, they've got a bunch of dogs there that your dogs can bang. But you got to pay them. So they're dog prostitutes.
What if your dog's gay?
Oh. Read on, Shelley.
Okay. Of course, we'll be happy to receive female and gay dogs, too. It's a democratic thing.
Perfect. Turn the page, baby.
Okay.
Canine prostitution. A business whose time has come in more ways than one.
A woman smashed up 18 cars in a jealous rage after she suspected her husband of having an affair. Mrs. Two, I don't see the first name there.
Mrs. Two.
34 years old, used a sledgehammer to wreck the cars, including her 37-year-old husband's BMW 318, in a lunchtime rampage in Singapore.
That's just cruel.
Yeah, well, wait till you see. She doesn't even get charged. She doesn't even get arrested for anything.
Witnesses also say she attacked a computer and a telephone in the office. Police said the act had been classified as mischief to vehicles, an offense that is not serious enough to require an arrest.
Mischief to vehicles. In the U.S., we call that vandalism and whatever else. Probably, I don't even know what it would be.
You ever wish you just walked outside once when somebody was keying a car and caught him?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you take their hand and slam it in the door until, like, it fell off? I would. I'm just saying.
Well, and Mrs. Two is out there with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Hitting cars.
Sledgehammers, that's serious
they
business.
They own a BMW lot together, so I'm assuming a lot of the cars she was sledging were on the BMW lot. And that's a lot of cash. And I wonder if your insurance would pay for that. You're the owner of the business attacking your own product?
Doubt it.
Yikes.
Let's see. What time is time about? Oh. An Israeli man had a heart attack after hiring a call girl to come to his hotel room only to find out that it was his own daughter.
Oh,
that's just wrong.
Man.
That's wrong on so many levels. I saw that movie.
Yeah.
The 48-year-old businessman recovered and on his return home to northern Israel was told that his wife is now divorcing him.
Oh, there you go. Perfect.
But his daughter's available.
Whoa.
No, his wife said that she's, his wife has vowed to put their daughter back on the right path.
Okay. That would, man, how would you like that? Or you go to, you like go to some bachelor party or something, it's at a strip club, and you look at your daughter's up there dancing, and you're like, whoa, whoa, hey, ho. I mean, hey, ho.
Hey, you,
hey,
ho.
Ho.
Let's okay.
Go. Oh, hey.
That one looks boring.
Wow.
Wow, she just went right through. Just, no good.
Let's see. Melissa Balcom was arrested for throwing a lewd birthday party for her 10-year-old daughter, according to the Citrus County Sheriff's. It doesn't say what state that is.
Florida, I'm sure.
Balcom performed nude jumping jacks and prodded one 13-year-old guest during the game of Truth or Dare to perform oral sex on a bottle during the party. Balcom is now charged with lewd and lascivious conduct and faces up to 15 years in prison.
There was alcohol involved in that one, too.
I never get invited to any of the good parties.
No, there was. I just cut that part off.
Oh, you cut that part off?
Yeah.
What else did you cut off?
I had my penis and I cooked it and ate it.
Ew.
What kind of sauce did you use?
It was a barbecue sauce. Matter of fact, remember what we
just ate?
I
thought you had done something creamier.
Ooh. Oh. It was an Alfredo sauce.
Yeah.
Alfredo.
Alfredo? It was Alfredo's?
Alfredo.
It was Alfredo sauce?
Yes.
That's the end of the booze news. Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
Welcome back.
Your dreams are your ticket out.
Come on, Shelly. Come on, Shelly.
Come on. Always try, and it will never work.
Shout.
Shout.
Let it all out. See, she says we try, but it works. It just works only with certain songs.
Mm-hmm.
Anything by bad 80s bands, she's all over it.
One-hit wonders, no problem. Take on me.
Take me on.
There you see, look, it's perfect. Awesome. I can name that song in two notes. Actually, we have a friend in the program, Warren.
Yeah.
Who is and I'm not kidding about this, is amazingly, incredibly good at Name That Tune.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you'll play like a 1 or 2 second section and he'll know the band. I mean, it's like ridiculous.
It's frighteningly, he's frighteningly good.
Yeah, it's bizarre. And I had this other guy that worked with me, Kenny. And Kenny was pretty good at it. And Warren would come in there and Kenny would be like, okay, let me try some. So Kenny be going, and Warren would, like, fire it out every time right before him, and this guy would get so pissed. This guy's got, like, 25 years sober and just, like, was besides himself with anger because he couldn't beat Warren. It was awesome. He didn't have control. He had loss of control.
That's a Van Halen song.
I know. That's why.
That's a Depends ad, too.
Control tower, control tower.
Ground control to Major Tom.
Ground control to Major Tom.
Commencing countdown. Engines on.
Perfect. See, look at that. So, we're talking about control. Control. What do you think about control, Shelly?
I think control is a fine thing if you can have it. Without everybody trying to thwart you.
Without everyone trying to thwart you.
Let me just say that when it comes to certain issues, my program goes out the window when it comes to control. Certain issues, just certain things. Not everything, just certain things.
Such as?
Selective control.
Selective control. Okay. You're cleaning the house. What's the first thing you do when you clean the house?
Hire someone.
That's right. put a check on the counter and then leave.
No. You make the bed.
Uh-huh.
You get out of the bed, you turn around, you make the bed.
Uh-huh. So, okay.
So, and then, you know, and then you clean the kitchen and the bathroom, and you sweep the floors, and you do the cat litter boxes, and you take out the trash, and blah, 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 blah. But the first thing you do is make the bed, and the bed must be made.
Right, well, okay.
What if it's not the first thing because you're doing it late in the day?
It doesn't matter. If you've started cleaning late in the day, you start cleaning with
the bed. Let me ask you a question then.
What?
So it doesn't matter what time.
No, when you start cleaning.
And what do you do before you go to sleep? You turn down the bed.
Right.
Shouldn't matter what time you do that either.
Right.
So if the
bed is turned down right now, and it's been made, then it's been made and it's now turned down.
But it hasn't been made. That's the problem.
It has been made.
It has not been
made. Because I pulled everything tight before I opened my sign. See, the thing is, it is like 12 million degrees in California right now.
It is.
And I pull the sheets back on my sign so the air conditioner can make my sheets all nice and frosty cool instead of having the big comforter that's on it that's on Shelly's side. So I pulled it real tight because Shelly likes to get in. Granted, I know exactly where Shelly likes the bed. She likes it nice and tight. She likes everything thing. So when she gets in, it feels all tight.
It feels like a new bed.
So I pulled it tight on her side across to my side, and then I opened up my side.
Turned down your side.
Yeah. Well, I didn't really turn it down because I didn't really make mine all the way.
He didn't make his side of the bed.
But it still pulled.
But how do you know?
If you looked at it.
Because I was there.
If you looked at it, you wouldn't know that because it's fairly tight.
And this has been bothering you like all afternoon?
It drives me nuts. And he thinks we don't ever have to make the bed.
Why would you make a bed? You're just going to crawl back in and go to sleep again.
No.
Oh, that is like the second or third person. Oh, the entire peanut gallery is shaking their head yes to that.
No. The bed must be made. That's the law.
Do you know how often my bed gets made?
How often?
Every 2 weeks when the housekeepers come.
That is just wrong. That
you know
is
what?
Wrong
you know what,
on
you know
so
what
many
I would,
levels.
You know what I would tell you? And this is absolutely true. You know what? When it's not 10,000 degrees and I get the idea that I'd like to cool my sheets down with the air conditioner when it's on before I get in bed, do I ever not let you do it? I mean, is there ever a time
do
that,
I ever
that
not
I'm like,
let you,
you
do
absolutely
it.
Can't do that. No, because she does it every day. It's only, and this is where the control thing is. And, of course, control is an issue is much bigger than what this little thing we're talking about now.
Right.
But.
Not really. Shelly's looking for a scotch bottle right now.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, and someone in the peanut gallery had brought up today about control issues and, you know, acceptance is the answer to all my problems today, and why can't you accept people, places, and things for being the way they're supposed to be?
Yeah, it was Sarah. She threw me under the bus.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, actually, Sarah said if I was going to throw Shelly under the bus, it would be better if I placed her gently under the bus.
With like a pillow under my head.
And then Sarah turned around and threw out a bunch of program stuff that basically threw Shelly under the bus. So... She said that we weren't allowed to pick on Shelly, but let's go a different direction. How about control issues in general, Mark? When you think about control issues in program, what pops to your mind?
I think that we're all control freaks. That's kind of what got us here in the first place. And
yeah.
Like,
don't you know? I know best.
Yeah.
Oh, the director directing the play. If they'd only do as I say, everything would be great.
That's right. That's right. I'm trying to remember where I was when I heard a speaker say that the only time she had problems around the program was when people didn't follow her script.
Nice.
I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, that's so true. The only time I have problems is when Bruce tries to make the bed, or not make the bed.
Yeah.
Shelly, why didn't you just go back in and make the bed if it bothered you so much?
Because he was standing there guarding his side of the bed.
But he's not now.
No, but now we're doing the show, so I can't.
Right.
Just wait till the break.
Wait till break. Wait till break when I'm eating more barbecue wings. Shout out to Sarah for bringing barbecue wings to the
studio.
The studio. Awesome.
Yeah. What bugs me is when I hear in meetings is people that have control issues trying to control other people's programs. Like, they can't do it that way. They have to do it this way. And they may or they may not be right.
How about, let me throw this one out to you guys.
Pitch.
Control issues, like running other people's programs, and sponsorship.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, to a certain extent, you have to tell a sponsee, or you have to suggest to a sponsee what they do.
How come?
So it's a suggestion.
Because that's part of how we learn. I mean, you that's think? What my sponsor did to me, and I...
Your sponsor sucks.
My sponsor does not suck. She told me, she suggested things for me to do, and because I was desperate enough to recover, I did what she told me to do. So to a certain extent, that does happen. But I have, and I did have, actually my first sponsor, told me what to do. Like, you will do this. You will do this. And some of the directions were really asinine. Like, she had me copying out the 12 and 12 backwards with my left hand.
Is this a Black Widow?
No.
Oh, okay. There's a gal, I mean, just there's a gal in the program that sponsors people nicknamed the Black Widow.
I have a sponsee that just got out of treatment. I said, so where were you when you got done? He said, finish the third step. I said, so do you want to start the fourth step? He's got 100 and some days. He looked at me and said, I've heard you speak at a lot of meetings. You tell everybody you started your fourth step at 10 months.
Ooh. Like, ooh,
okay.
Wow. Ooh.
Then enjoy yourself.
Wow.
So
was that J or M?
That was J.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Yeah, he knows better.
Yeah.
He knows better. That's awesome, though.
Yeah. So I told him, I said, you know what? You want to start your four steps sooner than that? You just start writing it. Otherwise, let's go back and work the first step together.
Yeah, let's go work through the first three steps like maybe four more times.
Yeah.
What? I don't want to do that. You know, it's kind of like in the Big Book, you know, specifically AA, when they talk about the steps, they don't tell you you have to work the steps because the early old timers said, we're drunks. If you tell us we have to do it, we're not going to do it. So there's suggestions.
Yeah.
You know, like the way they suggest you take a parachute if you jump out of a plane. You don't have to.
Good suggestion.
Yeah, you don't have to. You don't have to work the steps, mm-hmm. but it's probably a good idea. I heard a speaker tape yesterday. I got to get a copy for you guys. And this guy was like throwing all these weird things out in his pitch that you never really think about. Like, what do we like to tell people? Like, here in the control thing, what do we tell people? You need to go to a lot of meetings. Meeting makers make it. You need to go to a lot of meetings. And this guy's like, really? Well, wow. The first 100 guys hardly went to any meetings. As a matter of fact, they didn't really have any meetings. He's like, it didn't really stop them from getting sober. He's like, they worked with each other. It's like, you got to get a sponsor with a lot of time. He's like, really? You know, Bill had like 6 months when he started working with Dr. Bob, and Dr. Bob had like 3 days when he started working with alcoholic number three. And he goes, didn't really seem to hurt him that much. And then they talk about, you know, I mean, there's just all these things like that we look at as the way that it is now, you know, and comparatively speaking, it's a lot different than the way it used to be. He says, yeah, if you wanted to go to a meeting back then, you had to go to the Oxford group. They didn't have any meetings, you know. Yeah. It wasn't until later when they set aside a spot a week at this one couple's house where you could, like, hang for a while.
You know, I truly believe when it comes to that, there's reasons for that today, though.
75 years of experience.
Yeah. Well, you know, also, you have to think about where they were when they showed up. Mom didn't bring them in because she caught them with a bottle on a Friday night.
Yeah. Well, you remember we had a speaker a couple of weeks ago at the CA meeting, great speaker, the same guy that said, I'm the most important person here. He goes, you know what? Relationships in the first year? He goes, I don't find it. He goes, I read the book a million times. I don't find it. He goes, I don't see anything in there dictating to me when I meet the right person. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and you know what? It's kind of weird because when I hear people like that, I want to say that I've always heard that you shouldn't date in the first year, and it's like, then you hear like the rogue, you know, the loose cannon like that, and you're like, well, actually what they're saying makes complete sense.
Well, you know, best one I've ever heard is, you know what, you should date a lot and get into a relationship your first year because pain is a great motivator.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you should get as many relationships as you can your first year because there's a lot of growth and pain.
Mm-hmm.
You either grow...
Now that if you have a lot of time, if you have a lot of time and you're single, date a newcomer. That's a really good idea too.
Oh, well, that'll get you grateful. you'll get your grateful right away. So, Shelley, control issues. What would your final words on control issues be? Not necessarily the mattress, because we know what's going to happen with that. I'm going to get my frosty sheets on my side of the bed tonight.
I can't really. There are a lot of things in my life that I can say, okay, there's nothing I can do about that, and I'm comfortable relinquishing control. But there are some things in my life, and the bed is just one of them.
Well, this must be really hard on you then. That I'm actually going to get to do something with my side of the bed.
I want to hear more about her control in the bed, Bruce.
Dude, you have no idea. You have no idea.
Okay.
I would say that it's an area that I need to work on a little bit more, except for when it comes to the bed.
That's right.
Except when it comes to the bed.
If I have to clean the house, then I get to make the bed the way I want it.
But I helped you make the bed.
But you didn't make your side.
I did what I needed to do with my side.
You didn't make it.
I made it perfect for getting cool.
We could go on about this all night, so okay. Let's have Mark's last words.
Round and round.
What are your final words on the subject of control?
You know, the first step taught me that I was powerless, and I have control over nothing. I mean, I remember my first 50, 60 days of the program. I probably took 2 to 3 showers a day because that was something I knew how to do and I could control that. But other than that, my life was completely out of control when I showed up here. And I thought I had it all together. It's really funny, I had it all together the day before I got here.
The last couple hours, not so much.
No, I thought I did. I didn't have a problem until I actually showed up.
Yeah, and you realized.
Oops.
my final words would be, you know what, I give my life and my will over to the care of God every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this intuitive thought today that, you know what? The air conditioner mm-hmm. blows right across the bed here. If I left my sheets down on my side, mm-hmm. it would be nice and cool. When I got in the bed, mm-hmm. it had to have come straight from God.
You know, Bruce, if you were really...
It's God's will.
If you were really of service, you'd go in and make the bed at the break.
Ha, ha, ha.
No.
No, because clearly that wasn't God's will, because I turned my life over...
And then turn it down.
Yeah, and then turn it down. Yeah, because
no.
I asked God to direct my will today, and I came up with this wonderful idea, and God said, do it. Shelley doesn't love God.
Another
She's
recovery.
Going against God's
Another
will.
Recovery packed episode.
There we go.
Sorry, folks.
Shelley, who are our friends back east? Matter of fact, I'll bet if you ask the Gazette guy, he's going to say, oh, yeah. I'm going to have to ask him to take a poll. Take a poll.
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can go and read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe, and he will send it to you in the post.
Yes, he will.
And you can also inquire about franchise opportunities if you would like to bring the 12-Step Gazette to your little town.
That's right. I think that's just a moneymaker waiting to happen for people. I wonder, I'm going to have to call him and see how many people are doing that, because he's making enough money off that to live and support his family and everything. I would have to think that that would be a no-brainer. Look at alcoholics. We always want that easier, softer way. You're going to get this thing all packaged up, ready to go, and all you got to do is go get the advertisers for it the same way he did. I don't know. Mark?
Yes?
Any friends online?
Yeah, that would be intherooms.com. You can go to intherooms.com. You can put up a profile. You can enter the A of your choice.
Sweet.
And you can go search around the site. You can go to Friends of Recovery 101.
Yes, you
and
can.
And you can listen to our inbred player.
Yes, you can.
And while you search the site, and it's all very, very much free of charge. And very interesting place to go up and look around.
Yeah. We've got email addresses at recovery_101@hotmail.com.
.com.
recovery101radio@gmail.com. recovery101radio@hotmail.com. And if you'd like to join our crack sales staff,
go to MacArthur Park.
We'll take applications. We'll take applications downtown. There'll be a guy over there near the fountain named Flacco. You can email us at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. Also, that one or anyone, if you'd like to advertise with us, fine program. Shelly. Who's the lead out music by, Shelly?
We've done that one enough.
I'm getting a request, but we've already done that one.
Oh, I know who we should do.
What?
Who?
The Evangenitals.
The Evangenitals? All right.
These gals, we heard them speak at a meeting, or my sponsor heard them speak at a meeting, and they said we could use their music. It's interesting. I like it.
Okay.
It's kind of like a mix between Jack Johnson and bluegrass and a crack dealer. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
There's one thing that I love about him, is that there's so much about him to love. And when I say that I can't live without him, it's just that living without him wouldn't be living. Cause there's a way in which he brings me my sunshine, my blue skies and all my rainbows too. And in return I like to give him the weather, stars above and all my morning dew. Sits on my face when he disappears, and it seems there's something special about him. Though everybody's special in their own special way, but there's something about his kind of special. His kind of special really makes my day. Love for me.